Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Let us pray. God of wisdom and truth, in the hearing of these words, may we be challenged to come and see where Jesus is leading us. Amen. Our first reading today is from the book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Listen now to the word of the Lord. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please join together in singing hymn number 377 from the large blue hymnal, Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore.
Our gospel reading today is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, Jesus again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him all that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, today on the church calendar, we see that it is the second Sunday of Epiphany. And as we've talked about before, it's a season that we don't think about too much as Protestants, but one that is part of our tradition nonetheless. I mean, we Protestants, if we tend to think about Epiphany at all, we tend to limit it to one day, January 6th, which was last week, and we don't think about it much more than that. Many times we even cram the story of the wise men into Christmas Eve as if everything that happened around the birth of Jesus happened all on the same night. They have become a part of our nativity displays and our pageants, because I think we don't quite not know what to do with the wise men or magi. Even the lectionary has moved on at this point, and doesn't say anything more about these elusive figures in the Christ story. We know that Herod tried to use them for his own evil purposes, but that they were made aware of his treachery and left by another road, as the scripture says. But whenever I read the story of the Magi, the question comes to me, what made these ancient people follow that star? What motivated them to seek something that they had only heard about in their prophecies and legends? And what is the significance for us that their prophecies and legends led them to come into the presence of the Christ child, who in turn was the fulfillment of other prophecies and legends in a faith tradition that has been handed down generation to generation to us? I mean, they didn't have angel choruses leading them, heralding the good news of Jesus' birth to them. All they had was a star. And I ask you, would you follow a star? Would you pick up and leave your home and family just to bring presents to someone you'd only imagined would ever exist? This is a question that I think about at this time of the year, even though I've always been one to jump at the chance for a journey, the opportunity to travel for any reason. I enjoy seeing new places, seeing different scenery, and not only that, But it's never been a big deal to me to pack up and move to another city, another state. You might have guessed that about me since I'm here. And you might have heard me talk about the way that Jeff and I and our kids moved several times over the course of our life together. That we moved from Knoxville to Atlanta for Jeff to take a new job, and then back to our hometown of Kingsport, and on to Louisville for seminary, then back to Knoxville, and then here. My sense of call coincidentally came around the time that we moved to Atlanta, and since there was a PCUSA seminary in Atlanta, I kind of thought that it meant that that's where I was going to go to seminary. I was feeling called and felt that this move affirmed my call, and so I was gung-ho for the move, even though it meant a new home and a new church and a new job and uprooting the kids. I was ready to go. Only Jeff's job didn't last, and when I went to visit the seminary, it didn't seem like a good fit for me or for our family. The journey south didn't pan out. The star that I thought I was following wasn't the right star at all. But still, the call was there. And while in Atlanta, I had opportunities to ministry that I wouldn't have had in Knoxville, opportunities to explore the sense of call that I was feeling. So it was just another step on my journey. Our scripture passages speak to the idea of encountering Jesus and heeding the call to come and see. This is the call that I was following. In the passage from John, it is the day after Jesus' baptism, and John sees Jesus as they are out and about doing their own thing. John witnesses to his encounter. Here he is, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Now think about that for a minute. Isn't that, what if you heard that when you were walking down the street and someone stopped and pointed out another person and said, here is the one who will take away the sins of the world. What a monumental thing to say. And he says, I know it because I saw the Spirit alight on his head. And this is why I baptize you, so that you will be ready for him. Because he is the Son of God. John is talking about his encounter with Jesus the day before, when Jesus came to him for baptism. And if you remember last week, we talked about John being shocked that Jesus had come to him for baptism and almost didn't do it. But Jesus said, this is what God wants. But it certainly wasn't what John expected from the one who would be the Messiah, for him to come to John for baptism. And yet John seems to have accepted and embraced this new idea of who and what the Messiah would be. Now, the opening to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, is a similar reminder to the community of their own encounters with Jesus. The Corinthian community was not dissimilar to our own in many ways. It was a metropolitan area, urban and alive, with a mix of cultures and types of people. Unfortunately, this environment and the fact that this new community of Christians has been immersed in it, and we're still trying to live in the midst of it, was even as their new countercultural way of life took hold. There was a split of sorts brewing between followers of Paul and followers of Apollos, who was another evangelist. There were arguments about whose spiritual gifts were more important and whether or not Christ was going to return. Again, not dissimilar to what churches go through today. Different arguments, but arguments nonetheless. It was not an easy thing to be a Christ follower in that time, just as it can be hard to follow Christ today. But Paul reminds the Corinthians that the only thing that matters is Christ, which has given them free and open access to God. that Christ called them to come and see, and that led them directly to God. I'm not sure what the Corinthians were expecting when they came to Jesus, but evidently it wasn't what they thought, because Paul has to remind them to hang in there, because all who call out to Jesus have God with them to help until Christ returns. And often our encounters with Christ are not what we expect. I never expected an encounter with Jesus like I had. And I think I've talked about this before, that I did have an encounter with Jesus. And I don't know why, but I just never expected it. Nor did I expect it to come with the expectations of me that it did. Expectations that I go to seminary, that I become a minister of word and sacrament, or teaching elder, or pastor or preacher, or whatever you want to call it. The expectation that I serve God in some sort of way. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one here who has had such an encounter, perhaps during an illness or a loss of some sort, perhaps at a crossroads in your life, perhaps during military service or on the job. I know there are stories out there. They're probably not like Nathaniel's or mine or Andrew's. And that's okay. We each have our own way of meeting Christ. And I'd love to hear your stories. I'd love for the rest of the congregation to hear them. You may have shared them before, I don't know, but I think it's good for us to share our stories over and over again, because that's the way our ancestors passed on the faith, by telling the stories, by talking about their encounters with the thin places in the world, with God and with Christ and the Holy Spirit, and how they changed us and changed our lives. So if you'd like to share a story with the congregation, let me know, and we'll find a time and a way for you to do so. Even if we put it in the newsletter, I think that would be a great idea. But I think it's something that we all should think about doing to strengthen our own faith and to strengthen the faith of those who come alongside us and after us. In the second part of the passage from John, two of John the Baptist's disciples encounter Jesus, who asked them, "What are you looking for?" And they replied, "Where are you staying?" To which Jesus replied, "Come along and see for yourself." This is what Christ says to all who call out to him, who look to him for comfort, for purpose, for answers to their deepest questions. Come and see. It's what he said to the Corinthians as they lived out their faith in a challenging place. Come and see. And it's what he says to each one of us and anyone who encounters him through us. Come and see. Come and see, and I will give you life. Come and see, and we will work through this together. Come and see. Amen.